Hey, it's Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Take the Stage. This week, I'm joined by Tom Kosnick. Tom is the staffing industry's leading expert, offering a unique combination of business consulting acumen and experience to independent staffing firms. Tom advises on all aspects of running a staffing firm, including organizational performance, change management, strategic planning, financial analysis, compensation plan design, process and profit improvements, and business value enhancement to help staffing firms across the country improve operations and their bottom line. You know, lately I'm hearing clients are trying to squeeze us more and more on markups and don't really understand our costs. So on this episode of Take the Stage, Tom breaks it down. He talks about how to develop a true pricing strategy, where to get good data on markups. We talk about how to create a financial model. And then most importantly, we talk about how to run a financial analysis on every account so you know whether you're making money, breaking even, or worse, losing money on the clients you're working with. Join me and Tom Kosnick as we take the stage. We had a question come in recently that went something like this. It seems clients are trying to squeeze us more and more on markups and don't understand our costs. I'm curious to know industry standards and what you guys think it should be or ballpark. Tom, how do we collect that data and how do we even begin to analyze our markups?
Oh, gosh. Great question there, Brad. Collecting data used to be much more difficult way back when, but now we really have so much access to great data. First off, the staffing industry analysts has got a lot of data. The American Staffing Association has a lot of data. And then there's the local chapters, like here, I'm out of Chicago. So the Illinois Staffing and ISSA, they have data that they can collect. So there are many sources. Your banker sometimes will have data that you can collect. And when we talk about data, you can look at bill rates and pay rates. And so I always suggest to my clients to have a number of friendly competitors in the market. So again, I'm out of Chicago because we have so many large light industrial staffing clients that are here in the Chicago. And the Chicagoland area is sort of like light industrial Mecca. It's like a $3+ billion LI market. So we pretty much know, hey, in Chicago, your average gross margin is going to be X. And I know nationally what the gross margin is because of the research that I access through SIA or the ASA. But oftentimes, local competitors will be able to share what kind of markups that they're getting. So now, in addition to that, Brad, I mean, just think about all the pay rate data. Gosh, now you look a lot younger than I do, but way back when we used to, put jobs in the Chicago Tribune, and the big thing were the Sunday ads and things like that. But now, gosh, I mean, there's so much great pay rate data that staffing companies have access to. So that's the first thing, is that utilize those sources to collect that data so that at least you know what it's going to cost, you, your pay rates to bring the quality of people that you want to your clients. And then you can understand what your markup rates are as well, and then calculate, a bill rate that makes sense for you.
Tom, as you're consulting with companies throughout this great industry, do you find that in a lot of cases, companies are making up what that markup should be, or are they doing their due diligence and doing that research?
Yeah, boy, Brad, so you get the owner operator businesses. So those are like under 20 million in revenue. A lot of times their accountants are not familiar with the staffing industry, so they really can't lean on their accountants to help with this work. They may have a bookkeeper on board. They probably don't have a controller on board. So when I look at the owner operator type businesses, they're just going from what they learned. They really have, they don't have a pricing strategy. They don't have a pricing methodology, on and on and on. You get into the middle market, Likely they're going to have a controller on staff. So middle market, figure 20 to 80 million in revenue. They may or may not have a CFO, like a true CFO on staff, but they certainly will have a controller on staff. And so then that individual, it likely will start to help the VP of sales or the key stakeholders with a pricing strategy. But still, Brad, I'm going to tell you, even a $100 million a year business, they just don't have those finance folks. They just don't have the resources internally to have a rock solid pricing strategy. They still need it's still a little bit of guesswork, and it's still you don't know what you don't know. I talk to people in the staffing industry all the time. I get called from controllers or CFOs, and hey Tom, how do other staffing companies do XYZ? And they just don't know what they don't know. And oftentimes the industry hires finance people that are not from the industry. So they're sort of learning as they go. And unfortunately, it's a year later. Gosh, boss, I'm looking at this account and we're actually losing money in this account. What? How are we losing money in this account? Making it up is basically making it up is probably not the best way to say it, but they're sort of going from trial and error based on what they've learned or what they see, what they hear other companies are doing. And the absolute worst thing is, well, the client said that such and such staffing company can do it at this rate. So like, we've got to do it at that rate in order to win this business. That is not a pricing strategy. That is like the absolute worst thing that you can do.
Yeah. And we had Dan Morey on a couple episodes ago where we talked about how racing to the bottom is really if you're just competing on price, right? If you're competing on price, it's just a race to the bottom. And if you have no way to differentiate your organization and you're only competing on, well, they'll do it for X, so I can do it for X minus 0.5 or whatever it is, that is not a strategy, right? That's not a pricing strategy. Tom?
Yeah, you're taking me back to the Miller Hyman days. If the client cannot differentiate, they immediately go to price.
That's exactly it, right? And if we're a commodity in their eyes and we're offering the same thing, then they're going to compete on price, right? They're going to look at, well, if I'm going to get essentially the same service and we're not differentiating ourselves to tell them how our service is different, then yeah, they're going to go for a lower price. Who doesn't want something cheaper, more affordable, right? Tom, you're talking about pricing strategy a little bit here, and you're talking about how there's a little bit of guesswork involved. Let's help our listeners take some of that guesswork out of pricing strategy. And how might we create a strong pricing strategy for Brad Staffing?
Yeah. All right. Well, put your seatbelts on,
Brad. Good. That's what we're here for.
So first things first, right? So you got to collect the data, get good, valid, and reliable data in terms of pay rates and bill rates. So again, ASA, SIA, local competitors, local chapters, things like that. And then understanding what your true burden is. And I'm telling you, every week I see another P&L where either the burden is inaccurate or things are not in the burden. So understanding your true full burden, the taxes, the benefits, the work comp, the cost of money, like whatever you're gonna have in that burden. So once the client is presenting some sort of a markup or some sort of a pricing scheme, so once you figure out your bill rate, your pay rates, your burdens, then you understand what your margin is on that business. And we all know in finance that the magical number on the stat on the P&L is the gross profit number, because that's the only number that we have. So once you understand what your margin is, then you have to figure in all your additional expenses. So your drug tests, your background screening, either equipment that the client is requiring, and again, part of the pricing strategy. Many clients will allow those expenses to be passed through, but if you never ask or it's not part of the conversation as you're as you're bidding this. So understanding pay rates, understanding bill rates, understanding pay rates, understanding a true burden, knowing what your margin is going to be on this account, factoring in all those costs that you have to do. Then you have to think about, oh, do I need an on-site? Do I need a part-time on-site? What's that cost? I'm dealing with a client right now, you know, where there's so much administrative work with this account that it's not just a half a dozen recruiters that are fulfilling job orders. It's a half a dozen recruiters and it's three, you know, admin people. So then it's looking at the account to say, okay, people wise, internal resource wise, you know, how much money, how much cost goes into that. So you figure those expenses in. Then, depending upon the agreement, service level agreements or SLAs, rebates, the payment terms. Oh, hey, Brad, you know, thanks for your business. So we'll pay you in 90 days. It's like I run into these companies that are not getting paid for 120 days. I'm just like, cost of money on that are they passing the cost of money? Are they putting that, you know, in their burden? Are they charging their client cost of money? So then you have to factor in then the carrying cost, the potential rebates, and then you kind of know, okay, here's what we can expect to make on this account. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of times I go into a staffing company and I just use a simple cost analysis tool on a large account. And oftentimes you find out, oh my gosh, I mean, the staffing company is losing money on this account when you factor in all those accounts. Now, of course, you know, I'm looking at it from a financial perspective. Then you hear the branch manager, the VP or the air, hey, but that's what's keeping the lights on. And I don't know. It's all part of the strategy. But look, you're in business to make money. So you have to take all those factors into account when you're pricing. And again, you would never. Now, small accounts, that's a whole different ballgame. You know, I'm talking about large accounts here that you're going to go after. But typically the sales folks, and you got to train your sales folks, you know, they're going to go in, Brad, they're going to collect their intake calls, their discovery. They're going to collect all the data on all these things that I'm talking about. And so they're going to bring that back to the house. And then whoever, controller, CFO, will do the analysis. And then they'll go back to the sales. Okay, so here's what we can quote this business at. Here's why we can quote this business at. And then that sales rep then goes back to the client and starts to negotiate. I mean, the art of negotiation and the art of showing, hey, whether we do it or whether you do it, these are costs that have to happen. But in the end of the day, I can't lose money on this account. And look, everything is negotiable.
It is, right? Tom, how often should an organization be looking at these numbers? Is this something that's done quarterly? Is this done annually? It sounds to me like we should be obsessing over this data to make sure that, one, we're profitable, and two, we're charging the right markup and we have the right pricing strategy. But should we be evaluating this quarterly? What's your best recommendation there?
Yeah, sure. Hey, on your top five accounts, and again, so your owner operator businesses, 80% of their business will be coming from 3 to 5 accounts. It's just the nature of the industry. It's not until you grow into that middle market where you can start to reduce client concentration. Typically, put on those top accounts, for sure, twice a year. You're going to be doing a financial analysis for sure, twice a year on those large accounts, and the better companies would do it on a quarterly basis, and they would look at it from quarter to quarter to quarter, Brad, just to make sure that they're making money on the account.
So then, how do you? Sorry, Tom, how do you then suggest that somebody goes to a client and says, "Listen, we need to change our markup in the second half of this year because when we evaluated our numbers, we're at a loss here." That doesn't sound to me like a very easy conversation to have with a client.
No, you just got to back it up with data. And so you collect the data, spreadsheets, and this is a finance to finance conversation. This is, the purchasing departments and all that, how that all works. And the purchasing guys, frankly, in the end, so the purchasing managers at these large accounts get commissioned by saving the company money or reducing the gross margin. That's how they get commissioned. But if you go to the table with data, and Brad, like I've had clients that walked into VP of Purchasing's office and with spreadsheets and of course the VP, well, such and such company is doing it for X, and then it's like, well, you, Mr. Customer, you got to be careful there, because there's no way they can do that at X. They're either misclassifying work comp codes, and sometimes the VP of Purchasing is like, well, that's not my problem. That's their problem. But and you're bringing up a really good point, Brad, and that is, and part of the pricing strategy is, do we move forward or do we walk away? And anybody in this business that knows what they're doing, or anybody that's got years of experience in terms of pricing business like this, will tell you, oh gosh, we walked away. We walk away X percentage of the time, right? It's up, Brad. It's all part of the negotiating. And you know what's going to happen? In 6 months, they're going to call you back.
As they should, right? And friends, that's a scary realization that Tom's alluding to. You know, Tom, I just had a call today, this morning, at time of recording, with a client who's down 71% year over year. For them to walk away from business because they're potentially losing money on a key account would be very, very tough to do in this state of the industry, right? And I'm not saying everyone is down 71%. This is a drastic extreme for this particular client that we're working through. But friends, you have to have the courage to say, listen, here's what we're operating at, and here's how we can have a true partnership.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, gosh, now you're talking, it's ideal client profile, positioning yourself where the client sees you as a partner, and not as a commodity. I mean, again, do you really want that business? Now you're talking your strategy and your sales strategy and ideal client profile and all that. But if that's, it's just tough to, who wants to be in that kind of a relationship?
Hey, I want to take a short pause to tell you about the Smart Ideas newsletter from Haley Marketing. You need ideas to help strengthen your staffing company, ideas to boost sales, ideas to help you compete, and you don't have time to waste. With the Smart Ideas newsletter, each Saturday morning, you'll receive one actionable idea, a specific strategy you can immediately put into action to help grow your business. Ready to get started? Visit HaleyMarketing.com to sign up today. All right, let's get back to the show. Tom, I want to interrupt you, and I want to ask you this question. I know we're here to talk really the financial side of staffing, but I asked this question to Dan Morey, who I alluded to on another episode, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Why hasn't the staffing industry figured out how to differentiate itself?
Gosh, why has the staffing industry not figured out how to differentiate itself?
Why do we constantly revert to competing on price instead of the value we offer?
I'm thinking mimetic, dynamics going on here, and that is years ago, like the Nationals competed on price, and lower. And unfortunately, again, years ago, the Nationals really trained the industry, trained buyers that, gosh, I mean, we can reduce our rates or get better rates or have these staffing vendors compete against themselves and drop. So I think we've done it to ourselves in that regard. And now it's a battle of trying to get back up into those upper margins and show differentiation and show values and all that stuff. I say all the time that the industry has really matured quite a bit in the last 15 to 20 years. You can just tell when you go to the national shows the kind of executive that's showing up. The things that we're talking about, the tools that we're utilizing and all, and this industry exists because we do what our clients cannot do. And so at the very top of the business, if the senior executive suite doesn't believe, gosh, we exist because we do what our clients can't do, and it's tremendously valuable. Our work is tremendously valuable. You know, that's magic in the margin, I call it. And then people, recruiters believe it, salespeople believe it. And so, you know, Brad, how many times do you, you know, a client as well, you know, so-and-so marketing firm can give it to us at X. Well, fine, go do that. But we're the best at this type of work. So
yeah. I appreciate it. I didn't mean to throw you a curveball there, but it was something that you alluded to and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. And you know, I'm going to come back to the thought of, if we're just competing on price, it's just a race to the bottom and there's nothing that differentiates us. And if we're only competing on that number, the buyer isn't thinking about the value that we can provide. They're just looking at a cost. And at that rate, there really is no value in our services. We're just a number to them. And we're just a vendor. You know, we're a commodity.
Yeah, look, yeah, correct. So you can, the buyers have really tried to make us more and more a commodity.
Not a problem. Tom, I want to talk about, and getting back to the financial side of it, I want to talk about how we can tie all of that into compensation and then ultimately driving profitability in a branch.
Yeah. So, oh man, that great question. So you've got a branch, you've got 70% of that revenue in one client. Okay. And ideally you're going to have some kind of a financial analysis document that takes into account all those things that I talked about. And those spreadsheets are easy to put together. But then the compensation then for the branch manager is either designed, obviously you've got a base salary, but then maybe some kind of a quarterly bonus based on hitting SLAs, based on contribution margin that's coming back to corporate. So you can design these plans so that to reward the branch manager to most efficiently and prudently manage that account with the which may include hiring more resources, may include going to the client to say, hey, we can do this work task this way and do it 30% more efficiently. Creative ideas that's going to the client about whether that's onboarding, whether that's recruiting, whether that's training, all those different kind of dynamics. So, if you're missing a huge opportunity if you're not compensating branch managers on the profitability of those large accounts or hitting SLAs in those large accounts, because then if you're just paying them straight a percentage of gross profit,
Yeah. Tom, one thing that I'm continuously hearing from you is the need to obsess over data, is consistently looking at numbers. And that might not be any secret to anybody listening on today's episode, but you know, we need to, as an industry, obsess over these numbers to know if what we're doing is working, to know if we're charging the right markups, to know if, heck, Tom, in the example that you had, if we're even profitable. We need to obsess over these numbers and consistently look at them and consistently refine them.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, talking about numbers and percentages, you know, if all you are, and there are some companies out there that are VMS strategies. So the only clients we have are VMS clients, and they're these kinds of clients, blah blah blah. So that is a successful strategy, but most will figure out, hey, is it 70% VMS, 30% retail? Is it 50% VMS, 50% retail? They'll in their strategy, they will balance and shoot for some kind of a VMS, non-VMS in order to make the P&L strong, in order to keep internal staff happy because those VMS accounts can burn have a tendency of burning staff out. But you want to make sure that your volume account does not ultimately kill you. Yeah, right? So you obsess, you collect the data, you analyze the data, you make decisions based on the data, because in the end, you don't want the elephant to sit on you and kill you.
You know, you're, go ahead, Tom, sorry.
No, I mean, right? You've seen it. I've seen
it. You're exactly right. And I'm a huge fan of The Office. There's an episode where Michael Scott Paper Company goes to sit down with their financials and he says, you know, this account is the reason that we're growing. And his accountant looks at him and says, Mr. Scott, this account is putting you out of business. And it doesn't click to him at that time what's going on. But Tom, it's the thought of, is the elephant in the room sitting on you? Honestly, man, you might have just gave us the soundbite for the episode with that one.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah. Tom, as you look at 2024 in this great industry, and I want to pick your brain on one more topic here outside of financial. When we think about the staffing industry and what's on the horizon, do you think there's a ton of opportunity or a ton of threat for our industry as we look at 2024?
Hey, our industry is getting more valuable every day. It's only becoming more valuable every day. When you look at the demographic data, the demographics are not working in our favor. We're not immigrating enough people. We're not graduating enough people from kids from college. And the degrees that the kids are getting in college are not the degrees that for the job openings that are out there. We're not having enough babies in this country. You know, and it's not just the United States. I mean, it's the world. So the supply side is shrinking. So the demand for companies to help find talent is that need is only increasing. The other thing is I don't care. I had a conversation yesterday. I don't care how much technology you have. This is a people business. Brad, I got a new opportunity for you, Brad. Unless somebody picks up the phone and makes a phone call and has a conversation and makes a human person, has a connection with a human person, that's what we do. That's our industry. It's a people, right? You can have all the great social media, everything you want. You can have the fantastic website, but you need all that stuff. But in the end, somebody's got to make a phone call and talk to a person and intrigue them about a job and get them to an interview with a hiring manager. The AI is only going to get better, our industry is becoming more and more valuable every day.
Tom, before we get to our rapid fire round, I want to give you the chance to let everyone know how they can get a hold of you. You shared a ton of great insights with us. If somebody has a follow-up question, they want to get a hold of you, where can they go?
Yeah, Tom G. Kosnick on LinkedIn. We're very active on LinkedIn, Tom G. Kosnick. Our website, visusgroup.com, V like Victor, I-S-U-S, group.com. Visus, by the way, is Latin. It means vision. So we like to say we help people see the world in a new way. those would be the best way. We're all over the internet.
Hey, it's Brad again. Before we get to the rapid fire round, I want to tell you about Haley Marketing. Take the Stage is presented by Haley Marketing. At Haley Marketing, we make world-class marketing easy, fast, and affordable. Marketing for the staffing industry is all we do. And if you need help with your marketing stack, whether that's a staffing website, digital marketing, branded content, recruitment marketing, or marketing technology, we would love to help. You can visit HaleyMarketing.com to learn more today. All right, let's get to the rapid fire round. Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time. I got to run you through the rapid fire round before I let you get out of here, Tom.
Yeah, sure.
First one, one book that has changed your life.
Yeah, probably. I have a Master's of Divinity, my first career. So I've got two Master's of Divinity and a Master's in Organizational Development. So I obviously the book changed my life, the Bible. By the way, the word Bible means book. It's actually a collection of 50 some books. But anyway, so I would say the Bible.
Okay. You're the first person that said that on this show. Tom, one 30-minute conversation with anybody living or dead, who are you going to sit down with?
Gosh, it would have to be either a great philosopher. I'm thinking either a great spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama, Jesus, something like that, or a great philosopher like Martin Heidegger or the great phenomenologist.
How about we have a picnic? We'll let you sit down with all of them.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
But you're only getting 30 minutes. And Tom, one piece of advice that you would give someone just starting in the staffing or recruiting industry?
It's a relationship game. So it's again, just be very authentic. Be yourself. Don't. There's all these business books out there about this leader led his company this way, or this woman grew her company that way. There was a book I read one time Bill George called True North, and he just talks about like find your true north and just follow that true north, just be authentic in who you are. I had two master's degrees. I didn't have one business course. And here I'm running, a very nice, successful a consulting business in the staffing industry. And I didn't know what I didn't know, but I was just myself. And so that would be my advice.
Tom, I can't thank you enough for coming on this episode of Take the Stage and sharing your insights with us. Really appreciate it, man. It was a lot of really good stuff here. If anybody has any questions, Tom gave you his LinkedIn information. You can get a hold of him. Otherwise, Tom, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, Brad.
All right, take care.